And thanks for joining me this evening. I'm Aaron Hay. You're listening to Mizzou Music on Classical 90.5 FM. I am joined here in the studio for the first time this semester by Professor of Trombone here at the University of Missouri, Tim Howe. Tim, how are you?
Good. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon slash evening.
Yes.
So you're here to discuss a upcoming faculty recital, just Tim on stage.
Just Tim on stage. I have not done a solo recital in a couple of years. I've been doing a lot of chamber mm-hmm. recitals with Dry Bones, and it's time. So, I'm really kind of excited about this recital. There's three pieces on it that I wanted to do for a while, and one of them is sort of historical significance to the trombone, and I think it will probably be a North American premiere. I don't think it's been done in the States. A lot of people don't know about it. And then the other two pieces are one's fairly standard repertoire that gets done occasionally, but it's very jazzy and I really like it. And then the other piece is a piece by David Ott that has all kinds of fun effects.
Oh,
so
okay.
It'll be kind of a little bit of a intense ride, but it'll be, I think it's a really effective piece.
Cool. Well, tell me about the first one then, your historically significant piece.
Sure. For those that don't know, there was a time kind of at the end of the 18th century that the trombone really kind of faded from use. It was really only being used in churches and only in certain areas. The strings and the violin had kind of taken over a place that it had held in church music at that point. And so there weren't very many players and there weren't very many people playing the instrument. And there weren't opportunities to do it. But thank heavens for Mozart. He started using trombones in his operas. So the Magic Flute, Don Giovanni, Idomeneo, they fulfilled a particular niche, you know. Because they were so strongly associated with the church music, when people heard trombones in it, they immediately got the connotation. So, for example, in Don Giovanni, when Don Giovanni descends into hell, the trombones who have not played the entire opera suddenly appear. So we sit for 2.5 hours, and then we play at the moments of spooky ghosts and demons. You know, so because there's a supernatural element that they're kind of emphasize. And same thing with Magic Flute. Anytime the priests are on stage, the trombones are playing. So that was very powerful and very effective and became sort of slightly popular. And suddenly you had, especially Magic Flute, you had all these sort of magic operas that had these kinds of things. And, of course, romantic literature and music from the early 19th century relies on that a lot. Nature and supernatural effects were sort of, they were of interest at that time. So we suddenly have trombones beginning to appear in symphonic music in the early part of the 19th century. So, but what happened in the process of that is you lost a lot of trombone players because they couldn't work. So they did other things. And so there was this period from the 1790s through the 1810s or so that where the trombone was kind of, people were getting reacquainted again. And a really profound influence on that, believe it or not, was Napoleon. The French government and Napoleon liked French military bands, so they created these massive French military bands that became very popular. And, of course, you know, Napoleon kind of conquered most of Europe. And guess what he brought with him? You know, French military bands. And the people that he conquered, they actually liked the French military band. So after he left, they kind of kept the concept. So suddenly you have, it's not the same kind of music. It's not terribly interesting music for trombone, but people are playing the trombone and suddenly you see trombone tutors and books about how to learn, how to play sort of appearing. And out of this, like in any time, there developed two or three guys that were really proficient and became really great soloists and played a lot of trombone solos with orchestras in the 1820s and 30s and 40s. And so this piece by Christoph Müller, who was actually a trombonist, and I think he actually played in the Gewandhaus Orchestra for a little while. He had a friend that played in the orchestra with him, this Mr. Kessler, who was one of these soloists. And they became really good friends, and they worked together on some special projects in Leipzig. And he wrote several pieces for him, actually. And this particular piece, the concertino, has been actually known to trombonists for a long time. It appeared in one of Mueller's books. He had several etude books and teaching aids that he'd created for trombone. And this solo, the solo part, appears in one of those books. But nobody could ever find the accompaniment or the orchestra parts or any of that stuff. It kind of had gotten lost. And about 6 or 7 years ago, they found some orchestra parts buried in the Gewandhaus Library in Leipzig. And over the last, I think in 2013, they finally created a published edition of this and with corrections, and they got it sort of a scholarly edition of it with a piano accompaniment. And that's what I'm going to do next weekend, so this weekend. I don't think everybody I've talked to, they've never heard of it. They have a vague recollection of it being in this book. It isn't necessarily a super popular book anymore, so people don't know it necessarily. But and it's sort of, it's 1830s sort of romantic style, very much like Weber or that kind of style. Lots of sort of scales and arpeggios and all that kind of stuff. But it's of historical significance to the trombone because this is part of the reemergence of the trombone as a solo instrument, as a concerto instrument, did not exist until these two guys, Mr. Belka and Mr. Kessler, kind of began playing concertos all over Germany and Austria and with different orchestras. So the most famous product of that is the David concertina, which most trombonists know. It's about the same era and was premiered by the same guys and was played with the same orchestra even. So this is just another sort of variation on that. I don't necessarily say it's as good of a piece as the David, but it's a pretty good, beautiful, it has some beautiful moments and it's really singing and romantic.
And what's it called?
It's the concertino by Christoph Mueller.
Okay.
So the second piece, I'll just keep going.
The second piece
is more of a jazzy piece. It's written by Alec Wilder, who is a New York composer sort of steeped in jazz and Broadway stuff. He did a lot of that kind of work while he was there, and he became well-known, especially in brass circles, for writing pieces for tuba, for trombone, for horn, for trumpet, brass quintet. The word got out and he started writing for all these folks. And this particular piece was written for Lauren Marstello, who actually is an LA-based trombonist back in the 60s. And it's five shorter movements, but they all have a sort of like a jazz feel to them, jazz chords, jazz kind of accompaniment. The trombone part, I have some scoops and sort of inflections that are sort of jazz inflections. There's a really beautiful piece to kind of together, you know. The movements are kind of short, but they're sort of really tight and compact, and but it's very sort of singing and sort of really takes advantage of what the trombone can do. It's tricky, but it's a really beautiful piece. So, and the last piece is by Ott, and he's a guy that's based in Indiana. A friend of mine recorded this piece back in the 80s, and I really liked it, and I actually wrote Mr. Ott and got an unpublished copy of it and played it many, many years ago, and I liked it a lot, and I've decided to program it again. There's some special effects in it, like I said. In the second movement, I play into the keyboard with the pedals down, so you get all the echo, and she strums the strings a little bit in there as well, and I'm doing some plunger effects and some quarter tone things. You know, it's not pretty tame, but using quarter tones to kind of inflect certain pitches. So there's some mild extended techniques in there for trombone. It's four movements, and the outer movements are sort of super intense, like a movie thriller, kind of intense, mm-hmm. you know, like it's like going. And then the two interior movements, like the movement with the special effects and the piano, all that kind of stuff is sort of reflective. And then the third one is just a really beautiful andante, you know. So it's definitely a 20th century style and feel, but it's, I think it's really approachable. And the end of it just kind of runs to the end right out, like, and run out the door. I mean, you're really kind of going,
Very cool.
Like galloping right through. So.
Right on. So what made you choose these three pieces to display together then on the stage?
Well, I think my audience, or any audience, it's difficult to hear a lot of the same style in for 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. Theme concerts are good, and I think in an academic world that's great. But I think in general, what I try to do, just for my own sanity too, I try to pick three things that maybe are contrasting enough that would hold an audience's interest all the way through. And obviously that Romantic Concerto by Mueller is completely different than the Wilder. And the Wilder is the last piece by David Ott is completely different than the Wilder in terms of color and the way this piano is used and the way the sounds that the trombone makes it. They're just much more aggressive. And also, I feel like in many ways I have to sort of be a salesman for the trombone, because I don't think people really think about it as a solo instrument very much.
Right.
The constant comment I get for the last 20 years of doing recitals is, I didn't know the trombone could do that. I didn't know the trombone could do that. They say that to me all the time. And I think there's a caricature of the trombone that gets rolling out there. You know, it's the loud wah-wah thing with the, you know. But the trombone can do beautiful things lyrically. It can play beautiful soft things. It can play dramatic loud things. It can play soaring lines. It can play very punctuated things. It can do lots of... And if you think about the trombone, especially in the last 100 years, it has really sort of intertwined itself in a lot of different things, right? In classical music, it's intertwined itself in jazz, in blues, in rock and roll. You know, you think about it's coming back in rock and roll, by the way, right? It's like this thing that can adapt to so many different things, you know? So it's, and composers have reflected that, you know, and I think it has a lot of different kind of expressive qualities that I think people don't always consider or know, right? So I feel like when I do these recitals, it's like, I'm here. Look at all these things that the trombone is good for, you know, can do all these different kinds of things. So that's kind of part of my thinking when I do put these programs together. Plus, it's like, I've wanted to do the Wilder for a long time, and let's do it, you know?
Right.
So what would go good with that? I wanted to do the Mueller piece for a little while here, for a couple of years. Let's put those two together. And then the Ott piece is something I hadn't done in a while. I thought would be a good contrast to that. So
very good. This show is coming up again on Sunday, the 9th of February at 3:00 in the afternoon at the Whitmore. Come out and hear all the great things and amazing things and be wowed by what the trombone can do.
By the way, be wowed by what our great Dr. Bolshakova can do on the piano. She is unbelievably awesome. And I haven't said that enough on these programs. And she's my partner in this. And she just plays the bejeebers out of the piano. So we'll just put it that way. And she sounds great on this program. I mean, it's going to be fun.
Great. So. You guys been working on it a while?
We just read it the other day, but man, she sounds fantastic. We're going to rehearse a lot the next week or so and kind of pull it all together. But yeah, and she's not played, I don't think, anything on this program either. So it's all new to her too. So that makes it even more fun.
Nice.
So.
Nice. Again, this program coming up on Sunday at Sunday the 9th at 3:00 here at the Whitmore in the Fine Arts Building on the beautiful MU campus. Tim Howe, thanks so much for coming out and telling us all about it.
You bet. Thanks. Mm-hmm.